So last week we discussed what Selam Elohim means a little bit, right? And then expanded on that. I gave a whole shiur on Shabbos afternoon about that. But I'll say one point, and then we'll move into Noach. And you'll tell me if you want to do Parsha every week or other things. I'm open to whatever you want. But just one cute idea that our assumption was the story of creation was not written in the Torah to tell us about creation. That's not why it was written. It was written for other reasons. One of their main reason is because that we're created in the image of God. And I don't have time to expand the whole thing, but you know, Tzvik Raman has a phenomenal book. He teaches in Israel. He's from here. He teaches in Leva Torah, a few other places. And he has the Magid book on Bereshit. So he discusses this, and he flipped it. It was very beautiful that we keep Shabbat. Most of you, if you ask people, why do we keep Shabbat? At least the original reason, you say, why do we keep Shabbat? Because it's a mitzvah. Why is it a mitzvah? Why do we keep Shabbat? Because God created the world and he rested. Right? The second reason, because we were taken out of Egypt. A slave is no concept of time. Time doesn't mean anything. But God created the world. God rested on the seventh day. We rested on the seventh day. So he flipped it. That the reason God rested on the seventh day is so we would keep Shabbat. In other words, we don't keep Shabbat because God rested. God rested so we should keep Shabbat because we're created with Tzelem Elohim. So God has to model what a Tzelem Elohim means for us to know. So Tzelem Elohim means you rest on Shabbat. God doesn't need rest, right? That's the question. What that means, right? God is rest. So rather we God rested to teach man that man needs rest.
But
of course, it's also, yes, we're acknowledging God, but this...
Also, Tzelem Elohim is all humans, but Shabbat is only the Jews.
Correct. That's correct. That's an interesting point that he doesn't discuss. You have to think about that. Does that upset that theory? Tzelem Elohim is for all people. Okay. So this will get us to the theory we're going to talk about a little today. Was there meant to be a Jewish people when the Torah was given? And why is Noah not the first Jew? And what's going on? So maybe, and I'm going to say something that I just thought of, I think, today. I don't know if it's right, but perhaps... This is the two opinions, and one of the most famous Rashi's in all of the Torah. Eilu told of Noach, Noach is tzaddik tamim haya b'dorotav. Translate for Vakasha. Eilu told of Noach.
So this is like the story of Noah.
Right, however, so art scroll, the offspring. However you translate Toldot, right. Whatever, right? This is the story of Noach. Who was Noach? Right, so already Rashi's, what should it say? Eilu told of Noach. What should it say? Shame, no, it should say Shame Kamiyafet. Eilu Toldot Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abraham will lead at Yitzchak. It should say the generation. Do you want to close the door, please? Thank you very much. Welcome, Bakasha. So it should say Shame Kamiyafet, but it doesn't say that. So Rashi already says, Ikar Toldotem Shel Tzadikim, the generation, the children of righteous people. Are their actions fine? Let's leave that aside. But El Tov Noach Ish Tzadik Haya B'Dorotav. So what's the problem with B'Dorotav? Noach was righteous in his generations. So the probably perhaps the most famous Rashi in all of Chumash, one of the most famous Rashi in all of Chumash is what is the word Noach is righteous in his generation B'Dorotav. So what are the two opinions in Rashi?
He was only righteous.
He was only righteous in his generation. In other generation, in other words, compared to a bunch of thieves and robbers, he was righteous. But compared to Avraham Avinu, he was a nobody. Or the other opinion is, Yesh me rabotenu dorshim oto l'shevach. Some rabbis say this is to Noah's praise. He lived in this generation of lowlifes, of thievers, rapists, and he was a tzaddik. Can you imagine how great he would be if he would have lived in a generation with righteous people? In other words, he's even greater. But B'dorotav means even in his generation he was a tzaddik or compared to his generation. Now, I just want a very important methodological point. This is a drasha. This is not the pshat of the Chumash. This is a rabbinic layer of interpretation. It's not the simple meaning of pasuk. What's the simple meaning of the pasuk? Right? You know the difference between pshat and drasha. It's a hard thing to decide exactly where the point is, or if there is a point, but pshat is the plain or simple, the contextual meaning of the verse, and drasha is the rabbis making some secondary, maybe it's more important, maybe it's primary, but it's not the plain, not the meaning of the text. What does the text really mean? And this becomes important. Noach is tzaddik tamim ayah b'dorotav. Noach was righteous in his generations. So you know what it means? Very simple. Noach was born in what year? What year was Noach? If you paid attention to the end of Bereshit, which most people don't pay attention to, many people don't pay attention to the beginning either. But the end is really boring because it's a list of 10 generations. This one had this son, and he lived this many years, and they had many kids, and his total lifespan was this 10 times over and over again. But who cares? And the Torah doesn't tell us anything about it. We don't know. Mahalel, Lemach, Chanoch, okay, he's a little bit different. 10 generations. But if you add up all the generations, so Noach was born in the year 1056, I believe. 1056, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Now, why was he called Noach? Why is Noach Noach? Why was Noach called Noach? Very good. The Bakura here. He will bring comfort from what? He will bring rest from our work, from the toil of our hand, the ground that God had cursed. Why did he get that name? Let me tell you a little secret. Noah, what happened when Adam ate from the tree? God said, what's punishment? The land will be cursed. Land will be cursed. Who's Noah? Noah is the first person born after Adam dies. Now, he wasn't the first person born after Adam died. He's the first person the Torah mentions who was born, because Adam lived to be 930 years. So that's a different, for a different shear. How come these people live so long? What does that mean? Fine, not for now. But according to the Torah, Adam lived to be 930 years. 930 years. The first person mentioned in the Torah after Adam dies is Noah. So his father says, ah, the curse is over. Adam's dead. God cursed Noah. The land will be cursed because of you. There's no you. It's great. It's so beautiful. You don't pay attention to that. But that's where he gets his name. Now, so Noah was alive. Noach is born in 1056. Shait dies in 1042. Shait dies in 1042. So Noach is alive. Enosh, Canaan, Mahalel, Yared, Enoch, Metushelech, Lamech. His grandfather, great grandfather. He's got like eight great grand, like great, 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 great young grandfather, all the way to generation three. In other words, generation one and two die. He's generation 10, Noach, but generation three is still alive. Noach dies. How long does Noach live? Anybody know how old is Noach when he dies? 950. What year does he die? Let's see what we have here. Noach dies in 2006. You know who's alive in 2006? Name some people alive in the year. Abraham is alive in 2006. Because Abraham's born in what year? One biblical year. 1948. How do you know that?
It's easy to remember.
It's easy to remember. It's beautiful. You understand? Everybody get that? Everyone's born in 1948. What's first? What's 1948? When I say 1948, some just say the ritual. It's nothing to do with the year Abram was born, or maybe it does. What's the first thing God tells Abram? Go to the land of Israel. So it's a coincidence. Now, if you believe in this stuff, this is God, correct. Maybe it's not. But it's a beautiful thing. But it's easy to remember. Everyone's born in the year 1948. So in the year 2006, how old is Noah? Math, grade 3 math. How old is Abram, I'm sorry, when Noah dies? How old is Noah when Abram dies? I'm sorry, how old is Abram when Noah dies? 58, the gematria of Noah. 58. So hold on a second. There's something very strange going on here. Noah did live in the time of Abraham. Had he lived in the time of Abraham, he would have been unbelievable. They did live in the same time. Now, whether they met, I don't know. I'm assuming they met. I'm going to assume that. Torah doesn't tell us this stuff. Because the Torah is not a history book, not a curiosity book. But Abraham seeking God, presumably he would go meet Noah. Yes. Right, so most people had kids around the age, somewhere around 100. Noah lived to be 9, he was born in the year 1056, and he's the 10th generation. So 100 years. Now, after the flood, the years start going down. The flood changed the world. The years going down. So that's why Noah is a lot of he outlived some of his descendants. Noah, actually not no. Only Nahor, not Shemit, but a lot of them died around the same. Like here, I'll read the years they have here in the art scroll. Noah 950, Shem 600, 438, 433, 464, 239, Peleg, Dor HaPlaga, the Tower of Babel, like gets cut down in half again. 239, 230, 148, Terach 205, Abram 175, Yitzchak 180, Yaakov 140. And by Moshe, it's 120. God already foretold in the before the flood, I've had enough men, his years are going to be 120. Yes? After lunch. Yeah. I'm in the. Yeah, I'll stay here. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay, that's all right. That's it. I'm okay. Okay. That's all right. Okay, it's okay. Very good. Very good. Okay, so now, so what just happened? So his life is going down. But so Noah. So what does B'Torah mean? What does B'Torah really mean? Noach is righteous. Noach is the human being who lived in the most generations. He's alive in generation 3 and he's alive in generation 20. Noach spans 17 generations. Noach eats tzaddik. Now nobody thinks about this because we're so conditioned. We just hear a medrash. Mm-hmm. But that's what the word means. Noach eats tzaddik tamim haya B'Torah, because he lived with more Dorotavs than anybody. And I don't know if he knew Abraham, but it's a fascinating thing if you look about it, that they were alive at the same time. It makes a lot of sense. Now, what is it? First of all, Rashi may not be saying how great he would, say what would he be like, but I would suspect that Abraham sought out Noah. Abraham's this kind of guy, so Noah is like, you know, he's somebody who had a relationship with God. So there's a good chance they met. We obviously have no idea, and because that's not of interest of the Torah. So that's what it means. Noach is tzaddik tamim haya b'dorotav, in many generations. The rabbis, Rashi's quoting an additional layer of meaning. In his generation, what would it be like if he lived his whole life with Abraham? Was he a nobody or was he somebody? Now, what I want to discuss, so we don't have a lot of time, is why Noach's not the first Jew. So if you're going to tell me Noah was only righteous as compared to his generation, so I understand. We have to say, why would you say that? You have a very important question. We're not going to answer all these questions, but for you to think about, for you to write a book about. Why would rabbis, that's not nice of the rabbis. The Torah says, Eila told of Noah, Noah is tzaddik tamim. Wow. The Torah describes Noah is tzaddik tamim, and the rabbis come along and say, yeah, he wasn't such a tzaddik. A chutzpah. Who are these rabbis to belittle Noah? You understand? God says, "Each tzaddik tamim." That's pretty great stuff. So, yesh me rabotenu dershim l'shavach, and yesh l'knai, not so great. That already is very problematic. Yeah, and then most rabbis, most Jews, he was nobody because we're all descendants of Abraham, right? So we always look, what did Noah do wrong, like? But the Torah says he was a great, great guy. Halavai, we should all be like Noah. So that's a question, and there's much to discuss. But for now, but if you're going to tell me Noah wasn't so great, I understand he was the first Jew. Because he wasn't so great. It was only great in his generation. But if he was great, why isn't Noah the first Jew? I'm sorry? I don't know the answer. I'm sorry? Okay. Abraham struggled with God.
Yeah.
Right, so that's one answer. He argued with God. Noah didn't argue with God. Maybe you're not supposed to argue with God. Now, it's like maybe that's a chutzpah of Abraham. Now, our tradition says, no, it isn't. I mean, to a certain degree. But I'm just teasing out a little bit of a question to think about. Well, I'm going to give one approach. There are many different things. The approach tying into your question, B'Tzelem Elohim, what do you mean? It was meant for the whole world. When God created Adam, if he created the Shabbos, so we should keep Shabbos, so the whole world should keep Shabbos. And there's a law that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. You know that law. And there's a debate, what if you're converting to Judaism? Are you allowed to keep Shabbos? A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos.
But if they don't follow
the law, then but he wants to keep Shabbos. You have Noahites, they want to keep Shabbos, right? Right, it's not a practical... It's a gift to the Jewish people. Shabbat is a gift from God. It's like adultery for the non-Jews to take that gift. Shabbat Kala, the bride of Shabbat. And you're going to... I'm sorry? How many people today can keep Shabbat without... Right. You're right.
There's a person on my shul. There was a rabbi, like, what was the relationship in Berkshire, about a girl who did keep Shabbat.
Not Jewish.
Not Jewish. Before she converted, she came to school. And, like, there was one instance where she had to, like, be, like, a Shabbos boy and help with someone, something in the mitzvah. And then she, like, refused. She was like, I keep Shabbat. And then rabbi's like, oh, now it's a mitzvah. Anyway,
so that's a question. Maybe a convert, maybe it doesn't find a convert. They have a cute chap. They have a cute chap for a boy who's converting. You know what the cute chap is? Jews are so shrewd. I meant that in the positive sense. You know, shrewd. I mean, sometimes negative, but shrewd has a negative connotation. But I meant that they're sharp. They have an idea for a guy who wants to get around this problem. Let's say a 20-year-old guy wants to convert. So he has to he's afraid. He wants to violate Shabbat. So you know what he does? He goes to a city where there's no Erev, and he wears tzitzis. And he's not obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzit because he isn't Jewish. So the tzitzit is no longer a piece of clothing, so he's carrying the tzitzit. You see how sharp that is? I guess for a girl it could apply too, but girls generally don't wear tzitzit. But anyway. And it would be in violation of Shabbat. I'm not talking about tzitzit.
Yeah, yeah.
She would be violating Shabbat before she's Jewish. If a woman today wanted to wear tzitzit on Shabbat,
yeah,
because she's very religious or whatever, I'm not here. Would that be a violation of Shabbat? So I'm assuming not. I'm assuming not. Because a woman who puts tzitzit gets a mitzvah. Just like a woman who wears shofar. For various reasons that we have to go beyond lunch. I'm happy to go beyond lunch. What class do you have next? For various reasons, the classical practice is for a woman not to wear tzitzit, but there's no prohibition to women wear tzitzit. That's very clear. And a woman who wears tzitzit would presumably make a bracha. A woman could put on tzitzit. It's not, it would, if you walked into an Orthodox shul and put on tzitzit or a talit, people would look at you strange, I guess, unfortunately. It's not common, but it's not against halakha. The Ramah says because men don't really have to wear a talit, so why should women? No one should wear a talit. Don't wear four corner garments. Don't have to wear a talit. So men go out of their way. They buy four corner garments. So the women don't do it. But if a woman wants to do it. So it became tradition not to do it. So all right, now you're breaking tradition. In the whole woman's, you know, everything going on today with women and ritual, we discussed this in contemporary. There's nobody in grade 12 here. My Malmberg, who came every week, isn't here this week. But next year, my grade 12 class in contemporary halakha, please God, we can talk about that if you'd like. So, but it is an interesting question. But I would say the question is, what about tefillin? But give me 1 minute, please. So why would Noach just answer this question? You know why? Perhaps Noach was the first Jew? Because God didn't plan to have Jews. God created the human race. And it's only after we failed twice. The generation of Adam failed, and the generation of Noah failed. So instead of starting a third time over with everybody, God started the third time with Abraham. So it's not anything about Noah. It's the world wasn't ready for Jews. In other words, it's only the time of Abraham, after Dor HaPlagah, Noah, and the Mabul, and everything, God said, you know what, it's not working, this whole system. I got to pick one nation. Perhaps. It's not the standard answer you'll hear, but it's an approach, and that would answer your question. That maybe Einachinami, maybe Shabbos was for the whole world, but then it happened. Okay, please God. So are we going next Thursday at 12:45? That's what we'll do.
Sure.
Okay. Do we have to order lunch to get like more people to come? Like what?
Maybe. And then Noach realizes.
Yeah, and we have to start doing mishmar once in a while again. You know? I'm sorry.
Good luck. Thank you.
In other words, no. I would say more like that. If you want to change a company. It's hard to change everybody. It's much easier to work with a small group of people who inspire everybody else. You tell 1,000 people at chat what to do. No, you get the student council and you tell them to go and do the stuff.
Yeah,
what are you showing me?
Hashem realizes that like most people the kalot are not the
right. 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 Right.
And then he realizes he's Avraham.
Right. So he's saying right instead and he says, why did I choose Avraham? To do tztaka umishpat, whatever, you know, but it could be there was no original plan for an Avraham.
Yeah, and then that could be why they list all the generations and at the end, because like, it's to show that like you need Avraham. Like, I don't know.
Right, okay, you have to think, but anyways. Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay.
So I wanted to say I had to talk to my science teacher about my test.
Oh, I'm sorry?
I had to